time. What's up, comp? Comics that have been adapted into movies and streaming shows. And so today, Brian, we are going back to the Tomorrowverse, right?
Yes, we're almost current with this now.
Whoa, what? And besides that, we have a couple of things on the horizon too. Are you excited about Invincible?
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Yeah, the 14th, right? That's tomorrow. Oh yeah, shit. And then on the is X-Men 97.
Yeah, that's next week, I believe. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. So we got to figure out like how to schedule it so that we can cover both of those shows.
Yes. I don't know what day X-Men is going to be dropping. I think we get two the first day.
Yeah. The 20th is on a Wednesday.
Okay. That's not bad. And then Invincible's Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
maybe like Fridays. Yeah, like Fridays.
Yeah, we could record. Fridays. Yeah, I love seeing all like the discourse on X-Men 97 right now. My favorite tweet I've seen so far recently is there was a clip of Cyclops like saying like a very cheesy like something.
I saw that.
Not and like the X-Men back in 92 wouldn't have done that, and it's literally like the first thing he says in the second episode.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah, sometimes the discourse, it's just like so sad. Like I was reading a lot of Eternal stuff by Kieran Gillen recently, and I was thinking about how like there's so much effort and artwork and just so much time put into like comics like Immortal X-Men, X-Men Red, all these books that you've been telling me are so great. And I wonder how many people even like buy those comics.
I don't know, but it's funny. I've been telling you they're great for so long that they're now both over.
Oh, what?
there were 18 issues. So I've probably been telling you about this for a year and a half now.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. Brian has, been up to date with the Krakoa X-Men stuff. It's so funny we're talking about X-Men stuff, even though we're talking about Justice League today.
Yeah.
But, that's been going on since 2019, and here we are in 2024.
Crazy, crazy stuff here. And, I'm so curious what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
I'm afraid we're just going to go back to, like, an old, like, oh, we have a school for students. I'm so afraid of that. I really like this whole mutant nation idea. I love the idea of characters like Magneto and Apocalypse just working with everybody. I love it. And I hope that continues in some fashion after this all ends.
Yeah, dude, I share your concerns and your hopes as well. I keep picturing that we're just going to go back to like, Cyclops pitching in a baseball game at the school, right? I'm like, oh man, we're back to this.
You know what? The baseball games are a classic. I wouldn't mind seeing a baseball game in Krakoa, but
yeah, that's true. Everyone's just banging on Krakoa,
pretty much.
Getting drunk in that bar and then like banging. What's the name of the bar again?
Oh man, I don't remember. All I remember is that Blob worked there.
I know. Yeah. It's funny. I'm hitting you up with these questions, and it's not even what we're supposed to be talking about today. We're talking about Justice League. War World.
Wait, hold on. No. We have to go back to cover one more thing there.
Do it.
We talked about everyone banging on Krakoa, but I want to know what kind of contraceptives they're using because there are no children to be spoken of.
Which is weird, right? Because
Like, what are the rules? Was make more mutants and like what? Who has made another mutant in the past 5 years?
Well, they do actually have this one sequence that's in like X-Force and Wolverine. I'm sure you remember it, but like where they go to this area of the island where it's just like babies in a nursery.
That is true. Yes, there is a nursery on Krakoa. Yeah.
But the whole thing of like, you can't have the main characters be pregnant. So like it's all the ancillary people that are getting pregnant, I guess.
I guess.
I was going to say, and so now, since we're off topic, I don't give a shit. I was thinking they mentioned that they've been doing this for a year, like on the island. I think like Magic or somebody said, this has been going on for a year, and that was like kind of midway through the run. And it was making me think that for Marvel, I think they've kind of said before that like 1 year equals 5 years. And so like if you take Marvel's history, which is like, I don't know, going back to the 60s and use that formula, then it's only like really like 15 years since like the Fantastic Four debuted. Do you think that is kind of cool? Like, do you get that, or do you like that?
Yeah, it's kind of what you have to do to make these things work. Because otherwise, these characters would have been aged and dead by now, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of how much time has actually passed with the Krakoa, they had three Hellfire Galas.
Three Hellfire Galas, yeah.
So I guess that's like 3 years.
Yeah, I know. It's
and
weird.
Plus time after the fall and all that. I don't know how long that technically has been going on in real time.
Yeah, it doesn't really add up. But like, if it was 15 years, then like the Fantastic Four have been around for 15 years, then like Spider-Man would be like 30 or close to 30. And I can deal with that. I like that.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, I like that better than like a kid Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some merit in those stories where he's younger. I do like the slightly older Peter better.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? Could you imagine if there's someone that like really wanted to hear about Justice League War World and they came on here and they're like, what the fuck? Talking about Marvel, you know? You know, like I think that most of the time when people come on here, it's just because they want to see us, maybe because they know us personally. But we can kind of switch over to DC at this point.
Wait, let's talk about Transformers number 6.
Jesus Christ. Wait, did that just come out today?
Yeah, it came out today, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
For real. I just did that as a gag. I don't want to actually talk about it because I don't think you're caught up. So.
I go on Fridays to my store.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. But was it good?
Yeah, it was good.
Okay. I mean, when is it not, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, the 9th movie in the Tomorrowverse, and it is actually, I'm jumping ahead. I am full of shit. It is the 7th film in the Tomorrowverse, and it's the 52nd DC Universe animated original movie. That's crazy, right? And so out of those, there's 9 Tomorrowverse movies altogether, if you include the upcoming Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2. And out of those 9, 6 of them have been directed by this director, Jeff, I guess say Womaster or Womaster.
Your guess is as good as mine.
But it's kind of interesting because can you guess which movies he didn't direct?
Oh, it was only, was it just the Batman ones?
The 2 Batman ones, and there's one other one too.
Oh, man. I don't remember.
The Superman one.
Oh, Superman. Oh, okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. Right? See, okay. So that's going to get to a point that I wanted to make later in the video, but I'll just do it now. I kind of feel like these movies, the further they go, the more kind of disconnected they seem. Like, disconnected is the wrong word. It's more like, it seems that they're just kind of shoving a bunch of things into each of these movies, and like there isn't this sort of like really strong theme or like real focus on a character once we get to this movie. What do you think?
I mean, to me, it feels like it feels overall fairly disjointed. Like we're seeing these little blips in the existence of this universe with a lot left to be said off screen.
Right. Exactly.
Like 99% of it left off screen, really.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. And I mean, like there is consistency because they do have the same voice actors in all these. In this one, we get the guy that's Superman. What's his name? I got to look up the fucking name. I'm sorry.
Darren Criss.
And then, of course, we get good old Jensen Ackles. He's back. Now, Stanya
Kotick.
Stanya Kotick. Yeah. Was she Wonder Woman in Wonder Woman? I mean, Justice League.
Justice Society, yes.
There you go. You said the right thing that time. Okay, good. So she's the same. But then I think what's confusing is, it's not the Wonder Woman from the modern day Justice League. It's the Wonder Woman that's from that World War II movie, right? In this?
Yeah. So to me, this seems like this is the Batman and Superman that we've seen before.
Yeah.
And the Wonder Woman we've seen before, not the one that the Batman and Superman know. So that's really strange to me.
Right. Because just so you guys know, Brian and I have not seen the 2 Crisis on Infinite Earths movies yet, but I'm assuming that they like interact with like the Timverse superheroes, right?
Yeah, because I heard that is the actual last recorded performance of Kevin Conroy.
Yeah. So then, like, you could essentially have at least 3 animated Wonder Womans, besides any kind of weird multiverse world that's like, you know, where she's like a steampunk Wonder Woman or like a zombie Wonder Woman. You could have like 3 actresses playing Wonder Woman
potentially. Yeah,
that's kind of crazy. Okay,
yeah.
So with this movie, you know, we have Jensen Ackles. I we do actually get Matt Bomer, but did you notice him in this movie?
Yes, he shows up in the second part as like a old man ghost sort of thing. Like I sort of heard the voice and I looked it up afterwards. I mean, I imagine that had to have been Flash.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a very Flash kind of cameo that they've done in plenty of other adaptations.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm assuming, and, you know, kind of spoilers, but like, I'm assuming that it's like Flash, you know, runs through time or whatever to give the heroes warning. And I guess he's like worn down or like worn away at that point.
Yeah. The classic, crisis or original crisis Flash death sort of.
Yeah. So we're going to get that with the Flash that's from this universe.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we're kind of in the spoiler territory. We're kind of jumping all around. Let's just go through that cast a little more. So, you have Ike Amadi. Now he was Martian Manhunter in that Superman Man of Tomorrow movie, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then, Troy Baker is Jonah Hex. Is that, do you recognize his name?
Yeah. Troy Baker's done a lot of stuff there. He was also the Joker in the long Halloween movies there.
Oh, he's the one that did that awesome, like, kind of Mark Hamill impression.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, he's
a very
okay.
good Mark Hamill-esque impression, yeah.
What about Brett Dalton? Do you recognize him?
Brett Dalton is was from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was
Grant Ward. Yeah, okay. I like that guy. He was Batlash in this movie.
Yes, yes.
And then, of course, I know you're a big fan of John DiMaggio. He played Lobo.
Yeah, that was interesting because that was not who played Lobo in Superman, Man of Tomorrow.
Oh, who do you remember who played that?
I want to say Ryan Hurst.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the guy from fucking Sons of Anarchy, right?
Yes, yes, that's what I was going to say, Sons of Anarchy.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay. Well, Lobo's pretty comical in this. He was funny in that one, too, but like he's definitely like the comedic relief in this movie.
I didn't even really notice it at first, which is the odd thing. Like, it took me a few minutes to hear the difference. I mean, usually you can tell John DiMaggio immediately,
right?
You know, but it did take me a few minutes. And yes, it was Ryan Hurst in the Man of Tomorrow movie.
Okay. Well, the last thing that I want to point out as far as the cast was that like Frank Grillo's in this too, and he plays Agent Faraday.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
That kind of a casting. I mean, threw a bunch of really obscure characters in this, honestly. Like, and especially, I mean, I've heard of Batlash. I know King Faraday. I know the names, at least. I know very little about them. I had never even heard of Warlord before.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's why I was so surprised. Like, we were talking about the comic Danger Street. I just saw it on sale. I'm like, oh, Tom King, I'll buy this. I'm like, oh, Warlord's in this. I have to read this immediately. Just
there's Warlord. Yes. Let's do our little Danger Street tangent when we get to that Warlord part of the movie.
Sure.
You know? Man, I look so fat at this angle. Okay, I got to change it. So anyway, before we move on, though, from the behind the scenes, I also just want to talk about who made this movie. So we already mentioned that it was directed by Jeff Wamaster. But then there's three writers. One of them is Jeremy Adams. He wrote Justice Society World War II, but as well as a whole bunch of other animated things. But as far as this universe, that's his contribution. Then there's Ernie Altbacker, who he wrote Justice League movies, but they were for the animated universe before this one.
Okay.
So he did like Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War. He did Teen Titans, The Judas Contract. Okay.
Okay.
And then the last one, I was actually kind of surprised about this and a little excited too. The writer was Josie Campbell. Now, she wrote that Legion of Superheroes movie that we just reviewed.
Okay.
She worked on that My Adventures with Superman show. And so did you watch that?
I didn't watch it. I heard it was really good, though.
Yeah. And then last but not least, she was writer and story editor on She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, which I'm a big fan of that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, you have these like talented people and they have a lot of experience with animation altogether. But honestly, with this movie, I couldn't get into it. I know you said that you liked it, but the format of it was kind of jarring to me. It was
it encapsulates this entire universe here. They throw you into something. They don't tell you what the hell is going on. And you don't really see the villain until the very end.
Yes.
With the exception of like, you know, the original Superman movie here, like we know it's Parasite pretty early on. And we know what's going on. It's the mystery with Batman kind of going on, but you sort of do see what's happening earlier on. But yeah, it's just like, I feel like they've put these things together. I had no idea what the hell was going on. And then at the end, it's like, oh yeah, here's the last 20 minutes, and here's Mongul, and here's this kind of different version of Warworld, which is sort of like Mojoverse plus the Matrix.
Yes, yes, yes.
Kind of
like
the kind of gladiatorially thing that I'm kind of more used to, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so when you knew that we were covering this, I'm sure that you started to, in your mind's eye, start to picture what this movie was going to be like. Like, what did you picture when you were imagining?
I thought this was going to be like a full-on Justice League thing on Warworld versus Mongol. I thought Mongol was going to be like a big thing there. And I can't even tell you that what happened at the end of Supergirl is connected to this. You know, when we see Superman and Batman get like zapped away or whatever, mm-hmm. like, can we even connect that to this? Is yes. that how they got there?
Yes. And actually, this leads into another little tag I have here. That was a Zeta Beam. Okay, this has all been building towards something. So they get zapped by a Zeta Beam, which is the same thing they use in Green Lantern, Beware My Power. But somehow Zeta Beams are connected to Warworld. Now, when it comes to comic book stuff, there's times when we're watching these things and we just enjoy them so much, and they might say some nonsense in the dialogue and we just sort of like overlook it or tune it out because we love the characters so much and like we kind of know what they're trying to accomplish, right? But then with this, I honestly couldn't explain to you what Mongol was trying to do and like what Martian Manhunter, like I get what Martian Manhunter wanted to do, but I didn't understand like what he was doing, like why he was doing what he was doing. Now, for a comic book movie, for that to happen, and you know, we're like 200 fucking episodes in of our show.
Yeah.
Like the fact that like I can't explain that kind of blows my mind.
I mean, the other question too is like, is that the Martian Manhunter that we've seen? Is it a different one?
right. I mean, you know, we'll get to the ending in a little bit, but let's just kind of go from the beginning then. So there's three different genres in this movie. And that was the idea. Jeff Wallmester was all down for this idea of like having different genres because they had made so many movies, like so many superhero movies. They kind of wanted to tackle different genres. So did you kind of recognize each genre for what it was?
Yeah, I mean, you have the classic Western in the beginning, and then you have kind of like a sword and sorcery, science fiction-y kind of thing. And then you have like a straight-up Twilight Zone, Invasion of the Body Snatchers sort of thing.
Right. Which of the three genres do you like the best in general? Not in this movie, but like in general.
Ooh, it's not Westerns. It's not Westerns. Yeah. I would say it's a toss up between like the fantasy and the Twilight Zone kind of stuff there. It's a little hard to pick.
Yeah. It's so funny too, right? Because I would say that for me, I like books that are like sword and sorcery a lot, like novels. With comics, I'm not as big a fan. And then with movies, there's actually not a lot of like good movies that are in this genre besides like Conan. If you like Beastmaster, sure, maybe Krull. But there's not like this whole big library of movies that are like this, that are good.
Yeah. I kind of agree there. And then once you get past like Lord of the Rings as well, like what else really is there that's major, right. You know?
Right. Because I would even put like Lord of the Rings in like a different category than this, because this is that sort of like Masters of the Universe type genre where it's like,
yeah,
you know,
there's like a little bit of like a space involvement there, sort of like, you know. Well, a little more science fiction added to it. Yeah, you're right then. That makes it even thinner.
Yeah. So you're saying that's maybe your favorite out of the three genres. In this movie, which of the three was your favorite segment?
I'm going to say the Twilight Zone section, the third one. There was one shot in particular that really caught my eye when the first time one of the people like transformed into one of those. Was it a white Martian?
It was a white Martian, yes.
Okay. Because those designs are always changing between different things, and the black and white filter too. So like that was actually kind of gruesome.
Yes.
You know, we've had those kind of moments in the previous movies. It's like, you know, kind of normal stuff, and then just a fairly bloody scene.
Yes.
You don't want to see blood in that, but it was a little gruesome, I would say.
Right. It was when that truck driver.
On that note, do you know this was rated R?
What? Well, because of the whole fucking like sword and sorcery section.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's like people getting shot in the eye, and there's a lot of gruesome things that happen in that sword and sorcery section. There's even violent shit that happens in the Western section too.
Yeah, some people get shot in the head there too. Yeah.
I mean, well, okay, so let's do the Western section first of all. This is where we get Princess Diana, you know, Wonder Woman from World War II, and she's in this Western setting where it's like, it doesn't matter the time periods or anything. It's just basically like, let's just shove all the Western people all together, right? So you have like Jonah Hex, you have Batlash, you have Cinnamon, right? I think Cinnamon is the redheaded girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm kind of familiar with all of them because I have read some of Jimmy Palmer's run on Jonah Hex. I've read a couple of Jonah Hex comics. There was one by like Joe R. Lansdale that I like too. But like, do you like Jonah Hex at all?
I've read very little of him. I did not see the movie with Josh Brolin. And I've really just experienced him probably through Justice League Unlimited and a few scant comic issues here and there.
Yeah, there's one episode of Batman the Animated Series that he's in too.
In Batman, really?
Yes, yes. That's actually the very first time I saw him. Yes, yeah.
Interesting, okay.
It's cool because it's basically like a flashback story that Ra's al Ghul tells Batman, and like Ra's al Ghul is in the flashback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like Jonah Hex, I actually kind of like based on those comics, but in this movie, he's kind of more of a dick than usual.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the villain here, I would say, which I didn't expect. It's similar to how they kind of like treated Mon-El in the Supergirl movie. It's just like, he's normally not like this, but here, straight up villain.
Yeah. They just kind of switched it up. And I mean, it works for like what they're trying to do. Like basically it's like this town that's under siege by mercenaries. And he fucking kills Batlash at the very end there.
Yeah. Did he get shot in the head? I don't remember. That's how everybody dies.
Yeah. No, I think he gets shot in the chest. I think Jonah shoots him in the chest. Yeah. But basically, you know, we have this, you know, Wonder Woman. She doesn't have a name. They call her an angel. So she's like listed as angel in the credits. And then she helps these people that are in this town against the mercenaries. Jonah Hex, I think, kills some of the other guys that he's working with.
Yeah. He also kills it wasn't Cinnamon's parents, was it?
Yeah, Cinnamon's parents get killed. Yeah. So it's pretty fucked up. And I mean, there's this really great sequence with like a clock that he has, like a little clock that he puts on the bar, and he like shoots the guys. Like he's like, okay, once it strikes midnight or whatever, then we're gonna have a shootout. And then like he just shoots them all, you know?
Yeah.
I like that sequence. But otherwise, at that point in the movie, I was kind of like, okay, where's this going? Can we
get like, what, like, this is going on for quite a bit here. Like, what's up with this?
Yeah. It's almost like an anthology movie, but with no framing device, or at least without.
Yeah. The framing device is only at the end, which is really strange. Like, I almost wish that they didn't bury that, that scene at the end of Supergirl. And instead put it in the beginning of this, maybe, because it's like, if you hadn't seen that, you didn't know that, like, you're really coming into this knowing nothing.
Right. It's very bizarre, and I would be very confused if like I hadn't watched any of these other movies. I'm confused that I did watch all these other movies.
Yeah.
You know, so Wonder Woman, you know, she defeats Jonah Hex's group or whatever, and then we move on to the next scene. Kind of jarringly, it's Batman, and he's known as the Mercenary. And that's where we meet, like you mentioned before, the warlord, Travis Morgan.
Yes. And, you know, very oddly, we see Batman get beaten.
Yes.
That's not very often. So it almost made me question, like, is that Batman?
I know. It, like, he doesn't even act like Batman, you know?
No, he doesn't. No. And at one point, he, like, completely betrays Warlord.
Right.
And then they're, like, cool again at the end. And it's like, you don't remember what just happened to you, dude?
Yeah, that is the most un-Batman like thing. And that was jarring to me too, because, you know, you'd think, okay, they have amnesia, they don't really know what's going on, but they'll still act like their core character, right? But he just basically like says to the warlord at one point, when like a fucking, I don't know, Minotaur's coming after them, like, oh, you just have to be faster than the other guy. And like, that's not very Bruce Wayne like, you know? Yeah. But I did like the touch they had where his initial costume looked a lot like that Batman, the caveman Batman.
Yeah, that's where I thought this was going, honestly. Like, I thought this was going to have to tie into that somehow, but I'm like, that's kind of jumping the gun here if we're only doing Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of vibe I got from it, and I was very confused throughout this whole part because I didn't know that Warlord as a character existed beforehand.
Yeah, I didn't know about the characters either. And then you told me about this Danger Street comic. I read all the issues of that. There's this one sequence where, like, Warlord is having this conversation with himself, but it's like he's talking to his wife. And his wife is in this movie that we just saw. Her name's, like, Tara or something. She's got, like, a regular...
Yeah. It is something very, very generic sounding.
Right. And so all of those characters, though, they are from the actual Warlord comic.
Yeah, I kind of imagine there. And I imagine most of them didn't die.
Right. Right. See, like, they had kind of ancillary characters get killed off. But then I was like, okay, whoa, shit. Like, did his, like, girlfriend just die there? Like, she jumps on a pterodactyl's back at one point and, like, kind of crashes. But then she's okay.
Mariah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And then he has I don't even know how to say this, but he's like a black guy, right? Who's like his sidekick or whatever.
Machiste.
There you go, Machiste. And I'm like, okay, well, at least this guy's going to live because this is his friend. And he just fucking walks into his energy.
Disintegrates.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit.
And he doesn't even, and Warlord doesn't seem to really care very much either. These people are just like gone. They just keep moving on. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to have my revenge on Deimos.
Deimos, yes. Well, did you like Deimos?
I don't know. He wasn't really there very much.
No. He was kind of like a Skeletor type. And when you were watching it, did you think that, like, what did you think was actually fucking going on during these first three sequences? Like, what did you think was the behind the scenes stuff?
At this point, I wasn't sure, but when we get to the scene with Deimos, we see Mariah chained up and with another woman, which it ends up being Wonder Woman. I don't know. I guess it's the same version from the Western one. I'm not really sure, I guess.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. Yeah.
I mean, she didn't even look like Wonder Woman at all. I'm like, wait, is that Barda?
Right.
That's what I thought she looked like.
Right.
And at that point, it's like you see Deimos, like he has a gun. I'm assuming that was Wonder Woman's gun. And he seems to think it's his magical, like, super weapon. But I'm like, that's just a handgun. Like, the magic you have is probably way better than that.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought this was almost like going to be like a Exiles or Sliders-y kind of thing where they were just jumping between realities for some reason. And then I'm thinking, like, well, what does this have to do with Warworld?
Right. And I was thinking that maybe, like, Warworld was, like, a little bit more complicated and maybe there were these sort of, like, Matrix-type scenarios. Like, the gladiatorial combat was, like, in that X-Men episode you referenced already, where they're like in a scenario but they don't realize it. I thought that was going to be the thing.
Yeah, but then also, like, why were they moving between them? Why were they in these weird scenarios? Like, you know,
right?
They explained, you know, in the Matrix that they put people in this version of life to use them as batteries, and so they don't realize it. But, like, why would they put them in these extreme situations? Like, what is the purpose of it?
Other than
making something that looks cool or a different genre or something like that. Like, what is the actual story purpose of having these characters in these weird situations?
Right, exactly. And do you know that plant that Mongol has? It's called, like, the Black Mercy. I think that's what it's called, right?
I don't remember.
But you know what I'm talking about, right? It's from that, like, Superman comic where he gets the plant on him and he remembers he's in Krypton.
No.
They had... Okay. They did a Justice League episode too.
Okay, yeah. I think I remember now, yeah.
It's basically like the plant gives you, like, what you want or, like, what's missing from your life, and it, like, lives on you like a parasite. I thought that that's what this was going to be too.
Okay.
But then I was like, why is Batman a fucking barbarian then?
Yeah, why does he want to be a caveman? Like,
right. So it didn't make any sense. So let's get to the last one. So the last one is Superman's scenario, and it is ripped, like, directly from a Twilight Zone episode. You mentioned the Twilight Zone before. My favorite episode of the Twilight Zone is Will the Real Martian Please Stand Up? And it's the exact scenario where there's a spaceship and a bus crash. And then they're like, oh, well, we saw all these sets of footprints, but there's one extra set of footprints. So one person in here is a Martian. And there literally are fucking Martians in this too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That is kind of crazy. I also really liked how essentially Faraday was almost like gaslighting Clark Kent.
Yep.
Someone's an alien. You got to shoot the aliens or whatever. He's like really like going at him hard.
Yes. Now, see, I actually did like that because that in a way ties into Superman Man of Tomorrow, because that's all about like him being an alien and aliens being that was actually good, I thought.
I do agree there. Yeah. And it was a nice contrast because he actually is an alien.
Right. Yeah. So that sequence worked. Now you said that you knew King Faraday. Do you remember him from like that Earth 2 New 52 comic? That's is that what you're thinking of?
What it was. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like one of those characters where they'll just kind of change details about him to kind of fit a story. And yeah. he was like a member of Checkmate. Like when Greg Rucker wrote the book, he was like the second in command to to Amanda Waller. He was like part of the Task Force X. Like he was maybe in charge of like Task Force X Suicide Squad, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so he's always like one of those kind of background guys.
Yeah. But the name, I remembered the name, and I definitely read some of that Suicide Squad stuff. And then probably the countdown issues you mentioned as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And he actually goes all the way back to the 1950s. That's when he first showed up. He was like a James Bond type.
Yeah. That's what, when I looked it up again, just it was a refresher. That's kind of what it said. His roots are from.
Yeah. So then, okay. So now we've gone through all the sequences. I'm about to ask you the hardest question of all, Brian. Okay. What the hell was actually happening?
I don't know. So he merged with the white Martian and it created some key that Mongol needed. Okay. And then I guess John Jones like destroyed that. Did he destroy the universe? Did he kill all the Martians?
Okay.
I'm not really sure. All I know is that our heroes escaped. And I'm not sure what John Jones this was.
It was so confusing because basically the heroes, when they're in Clark's delusion or whatever, they find this green Martian and it's John Jones. Then basically they switch over to the real world and he's attached to a machine. Now somehow Mongol's plan is to the Martian Manhunter's suffering to like activate the weapon of Warworld. Right?
No, I don't think it was the suffering. I think he was using, he was forcing Martian Manhunter to make these illusions for these characters, but I don't know why. And then ultimately he's looking for the key to unlock Warworld, I think.
Okay, but see, like, that's where I think this movie has a flaw, because I'm pretty sure they say that, like, John Jones was making the illusions just for the Trinity, for their sake. Like, that he was doing it as like a rebellious thing against Mongol.
Maybe. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. So the whole ending this was very confusing then.
Yes. And honestly, here's the thing. Like, I was hoping you were going to shed some light on this for me, but like they like clone the people that are in these illusions too. Like there's a clone of like fucking Jonah Hex that they show at one point. There's like, I think there's a clone of Warlord at one point.
Well, yeah, no. They show that they remake a Batlash in the sequence. So
yeah. Yeah, so it's like, for some reason, they're cloning these people, and they're, like, using their suffering. There's something about suffering. Like, Mongol wants to use their suffering. And, like, I think the idea was that Martian DNA had the key to Warworld, but the key was incomplete until John merged with the white Martian.
Yes.
I think that's the key. But, like,
unbeknownst to Mongol.
Yeah. And so it's like really rushed. And it feels like the heroes don't even have their memories back by the final battle.
No, I don't think so. And it was really funny too, that sequence where they just show their costumes dangling. And it's like, oh yeah, I guess we should put those on.
Right.
I was half expecting Batman and Superman to put the wrong ones on for it. Just
that would be incredible. That would be so good. I love when Superman wears Batman's costume.
Yeah, there was what book is that where it's like Superman, it's like Clark and Lois, and then
right, it's Tom King's Batman.
Tom King's back. Yeah, they switch costumes to get into like a carnival or something like that.
Right, and there's this classic episode of Batman the Animated Series where Superman. Oh,
yes, I remember that.
Yeah. So okay, so basically, the Trinity like take on Mongol's forces. Lobo kind of stalls because just to make things even more complicated, Lobo was working for Mongol, but he like betrayed Mongol so he could get Warworld, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, maybe I should have like just focused on this movie and not had it on like a separate screen while I was like answering emails and shit.
No, see, I did focus on the movie. I watched this movie. I didn't have any of the other devices distracting me. I just watched it straight through.
Yeah,
and I just have no idea what the hell actually happened.
Yeah. I think actually I did focus on a lot too, and I still was like, okay, so what the fuck is this with clones and Martians? Like, it's so fucking weird. And then the most frustrating part is that the heroes win and John kind of like sacrifices himself. And then it's like, there's no like kind of resolution or explanation at the end. It's just that they get teleported away by Harbinger.
The heroes don't even do anything really. Yeah. Like, they essentially just get whisked away by Harbinger.
Right. It's all just basically a setup. Oh, and then another thing too, just to make it even more fucking complicated, is that Mongol isn't just like capturing people from like different times on Earth. He's actually getting people from other realities.
Yeah.
So I get that it's like all kind of building up to Crisis on Infinite Earths, but it's like, I don't get
it,
man.
But how and why it connects to it, I guess. I mean, other than the fact that he's going to different realities, Crisis has to do with different realities.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, it's just we're seeing these little glimpses into this world, and so much is happening off panel, and right. Feel like they really could have did a better job of explaining what was going on in this movie and the purpose of it.
Right. Exactly. So with that being said, I think it's time for us to rank all of these movies. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. I never wrote down my rankings for any of these, but I can do this off the cuff.
Okay, I did my ranking on that beautiful document that you made a long time ago. Oh, man. So do you want me to go first so that way you can kind of...
Yeah, like, so I can remember what they all are.
Okay. Hold on. I'm pulling the document up. All right. So there's 9 of these movies, and I've gone ahead and just tied the 2 Batmans together. So that doesn't...
Yeah,
that
I agree. One movie.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. For the rank... Oh, I see your icon on the doc. Okay. I'm going to go from bottom to top.
Yeah.
So, last place, Justice League War World. Then Justice Society World War II. Then Legion of Superheroes. I can't believe I didn't put fucking Green Lantern Beware My Power. Okay, let me try that. Take 2. Sorry, this is live. Justice League War World. Then Green Lantern Beware My Power. Then Justice Society World War II. Then Legion of Superheroes. Superman Man of Tomorrow. And then at the top is Batman Long Halloween parts 1 and 2.
I think really the big takeaway here for me is that Batman and Superman at the top, everything else is kind of like subpar and some kind of subpar soup at the bottom there.
Yeah, subpar soup.
I might put this a little higher because I just like seeing Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman together.
Together, yeah. Yeah.
But I other than that, oh man, I really don't remember how I did this before. I barely remember anything anymore. I'm going to leave it at that, honestly. Those two are at the top in that order. Batman and Superman 1 and 2. Everything else is just kind of give or take around there in the same range there. Not horrible, but you know, not great either.
Yeah, I agree. Though I did enjoy Legion of Superheroes more. I thought that Supergirl was very charismatic, and I liked the interaction between her and Brainiac.
I agree, yeah. I do agree with that.
But I would say that, with maybe exception of the 2 movies that you have at the top, and then Justice Society World War II, I would say that a lot of these movies have a hard time with their ending, like wrapping it up.
Yeah, I just distinctly remember how rushed Beware My Power was there with the whole Parallax storyline. How they just kind of shoved that in,
yeah,
and wrapped it all up pretty quickly.
Yeah, because if you think about this universe, it's like they fucking like Hal Jordan becomes Parallax. Hal Jordan gets killed. Brainiac gets killed. in this, like Mongol gets killed. Maybe John Jones dies too. Like there's a lot of like major characters that die in these movies.
Yeah.
And we haven't even gotten to the crisis yet.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to see more of that here.
Yeah. Cool. So I think that our next video that we're going to do is not going to be one of these Tomorrowverse. It's going to be probably Invincible and X-Men together. What do you think?
Maybe we can do Invincible on its own, and then the following week would be both.
Okay.
There's not going to be many Invincibles. I think it's only like four episodes tops here. So.
Cool. Well, you know what, though? I enjoy doing this with you, and I actually just restarted my Amazon Prime account so I can watch Invincible and then eventually The Boys. Yeah. And Invincible and The Boys are like my two favorite things that we cover on here. So
yeah.
Yeah, man. Cool. All right. Well, then that is another episode in the bag. We hope that you guys liked our show. If you guys want to subscribe, we would greatly appreciate it. And Brian and I will be here next week to talk about Invincible. See y'all.